good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Ahu, Ho-Chunk Raja, Wakunja Hade, Hinga Dena. My name is Distant Thunder, and my colonized name is Robert Pilot. And we discuss Native issues all across Turtle Island. And as you know, Native issues are human issues. And human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. I'm sorry, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday. Also, there's only a couple more days left to get your COVID shot from them. It goes through June 19th. So get it while they last.
Well, it's interesting, Wendy. Ogama is on vacation and we miss her dearly. Mm-hmm. And we have Lewis. And Lewis is going to – Eagle Thunder is going to sit in for Ogama and do his thing because we know he brings his truth. And he's just going to expand it and bring Turtle Island's truth. And he's the TikTok guy, the Lakota TikTok guy that we really, really love and love to listen to. And without any further ado, you notice I can speak French, ado. Well, let's get the TikTok guy out here and give us some updates and some news and some what's happening all over Turtle Island. Welcome, Lewis.
Thank you so much, Robert and Wendy. My favorite French word is crème brûlée. So we'll just go on from there. But we have a lot of amazing news today. And one of the things I want to definitely uplift is our camps out there on line three, fighting the good fight. A lot of crazy updates happening. On Monday, there was an issue where Indigenous leaders were peacefully asserting their treaty rights by occupying spaces and holding ceremony. And they were facing eviction and arrest. So it's really important to uplift these camps. And before I want to get in the news, I want to introduce myself in my Lakota way for my ancestors out there. Haumatakiapi, Malakota. I just want to also say, Yuha Chante Washte Nape Chayuza Pelo, Wambli Wakinya Imachiapilo. I just want to greet you with a good heart and a warm handshake to all my ancestors out there and all my relatives. So we want to uplift our Magizi camp, our Ginu camp, Gichigumi Scouts, Honor the Earth, Indigenous Environmental Network, Red Lake Treaty Camp, Rise Coalition. All of these people are doing such amazing, amazing work fighting the good fight up there. And I think we need to uplift them. As far as finding out ways to donate, we often get asked, you know, so break out your pens and papers, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. So let's go with Honor the Earth. You could take that with stopline3.org, take action. They're also welcoming perishables and gifts at welcomewaterprotectors@gmail.com. If you have any supplies to donate there, Ginu Collective is fighting the good fight up there. And you could find them at Ginu, G-I-N-I-W Collective on Facebook. And they also have a donate link there. Camp McGizzy, of course, run by Tasha Martineau of the Fond du Lac Band of Superior Chippewa, located up there in northern Minnesota. She has a GoFundMe page at Camp McGizzy, M-I-G-I-Z-I, on her Instagram page. And we just want to uplift all of our water protectors out there. A lot of these people that are fighting the fight, a lot of them don't ask for much. They're not asking out there for donations. And I think that's part of our job to do is make sure that they have the supplies, they have what they need to fight this good fight, Robert.
Yeah, good words, good words. Absolutely.
And they always need something. So before you just don't donate, look at the list, because they update it and they take things away and they put things on it all the time as they need it.
Perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have so many things going on up there. They've asserted treaty rights. That's something I want to get into in the next segment. Talk a little bit about how they asserted the Endangered Species Act of 1973. Very, very well done with the water protectors up there. And there actually is a secretarial order, 3206, not to get too heavy into it, but it was to assert American Indian tribal rights on federal trust responsibilities to allow a monitor to monitor the endangered species, make sure there's no disruption of those species up there. And that's really important to think of us now going in the role of being protectors in the face of capitalistic interests that go against endangering these species, endangering our water, endangering our way of life. So we're going to get into that probably next segment.
Yeah, wow. That's something I'd love to talk to you about. Yeah, and hear about that, because I love talking about endangered species and how to help them.
Our sacred relatives. Yeah.
Yeah, we also have a couple other kind of other things going on. We have the Flushing Meadows Corona Park. So this is in New York. It's a giant globe. And James Parrish, shout out to him for all of his amazing updates on Facebook.
Yes. Wow.
They have an in-bridge actual flag that they stuck to this giant globe, and they had police out there that couldn't get it down. So power to them for that, you know, spreading that good message out there. Also, Enbridge is looking for a...
Was that a no line? Sorry, was that a gold no line 3 flag or an Enbridge flag?
That was a gold no line 3 flag.
Oh yes, good one.
And they can't get it down. They must have just really stuck it up there. I don't know. Maybe they use some drones or something like that. But another crazy news up there is that in Bemidji, they have a Enbridge is looking for a patrol helicopter pilot. So if anyone knows anyone, let's flood them with all kinds of unqualified people to go after that. But that was up there. And again, we talk about surveillance. We talk about, you know, them being antagonistic towards our water protectors, antagonistic to us upholding our treaty rights up there and upholding them responsible for their actions, for the black snake. This fight goes on. Dakota Access Pipeline, Keystone XL was a good point in understanding that our activism really makes a difference in these type of things. And I sincerely believe with my heart of hearts that we're going to see that with Line 3.
I agree. That's beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, if anyone wants to donate to any of our water protectors up there, we got amazing camps up there. Please do so. I know that stopline3.org actually has a kind of like a filter for all type of page. But again, check with them exactly. If you have specific items, exactly like Wendy said, get a hold of them. Talk to them and say, hey, you know, I got, you know, all this water. Who needs it? What camp needs it? And they talk amongst themselves. They communicate amongst themselves in order to get these supplies out there. You know, we're seeing them more and more go after our water protectors and be a little bit more belligerent with the ways that they're going about installing this line.
Well, I know Wendy and I, by the all the times that we went to Standing Rock, have a slight, and it's really strange, a slight PSD, a PDS or
PTSD.
Thank you for helicopters and planes flying over our heads. So.
Whoa, and hearing that noise over and over and over.
Yeah, they stayed on top of our camp, you know, 24/7. So. You know, everyone flood and become a pilot and want to fly the helicopter. That's a good idea.
Oh, no. Yeah. Be careful about that.
Well, I mean, flood them with bad, you know, applying for job.
Oh, sure. Okay. Resumes and applications.
Yes. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah. Application.
It's hard to get the words together some days.
Wow.
Yeah. Especially this day. Maybe we should finance our own helicopter.
Yeah. Hey. Lewis Eagle Thunder, the TikTok guy. Hold on here. We got a break, and we're going to come right back with some more news. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Stay with us. The Department of Indian Work partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Now you can call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can also schedule a free COVID-19 vaccine at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. Appointments are available for residents 16 years of age and older. Vaccines are available to certain residents of Hennepin, Ramsey, Anoka, and Dakota counties. Call the Minnesota American Indian COVID-19 Hotline at 651-304-9986 to find out when you can get your free COVID-19 vaccination. Appointments are available April 16th through June 19th. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Over the past year and more, we've all missed out on a lot. Family time, graduations, weddings. And missing those events, we've missed out on even more. Friendships, connections, community, belonging. That's a long time to miss things this important. So don't miss on getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Vaccines are now available throughout Hennepin County to anyone over the age of 16. Just visit TakeCareHennepin.org and sign up to get yours. That's TakeCareHennepin.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Thanks, Jane. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, wow, Jane's hip to Native Roots Radio. That's
awesome.
I know,
I love it.
Hey, we're here with Lewis Eagle Thunder, the TikTok guy, the Lakota TikTok guy, and he's sitting in for Ogama and doing a great job, and really appreciate you, you know, short notice. That's kind of how I roll. Pini Gigi, and thank you so much for coming on and spreading some news that Native news that we need out there. Welcome back.
Yeah, Wopi Latonka to you and Wendy for holding down the show. I think it's so important to have you know, media representation about Indigenous issues, especially things like Line 3. You know, things that affect our lives. And you know, when we think about Line 3, I just want the audience to also understand that it's just not an Indigenous issue. This is water protecting is all of our issues. It's for our future. It's for our children. It's for, you know, that seventh generation that we will never really see. And this should really be a holistic issue with all our communities together when we think of water protector, because, you know, we are, you know, the breed, the people that are literally going to protect all other species on the earth. And they can't speak the way that we can speak. They don't have representation the way that we can speak. So for us, it is our duty to speak for those animals and those environments that don't have a voice. So Red Lake Treaty Camp actually had an amazing update recently. I'll just read a little bit of a segment of it. We had a small but momentous victory here at the camp. Today we shut down construction by exposing that they were violating the Endangered Species Act and not having the tribal monitor present during ground disturbance. So to use at all times, thanks to council members and lawyers acting quickly with these observations. And that's so important, you know, and I know, Wendy, it's really close to your heart, talking about endangered species, talking about, you know, our environment and those that cannot talk, cannot speak, and us being the voice to speak for them. You know, I was looking at this whole Endangered Species Act. You know me, Robert, I'm a little bit of a native nerd when it comes to treaties and laws and all that. And it was kind of a last minute thing. And I looked at it, I'm like, man, this is, it's so amazing that they were able to enact this. And one of them is defined. It's defined by four parts. This they call it ESA, Endangered Species Act. And basically it's to take broad, define defined to include any actions that harm species, including habitat modification or degradation that actually kills or injures misplaced wildlife, significantly impairing behavior patterns, including breeding, feeding, and sheltering. Isn't that just exactly what Line 3 is going to do? They are literally going to displace environmental habitats that have held in those sacred grounds for so long. And of course, Red Lake Treaty Camp, their lawyers sprung an action, this secretarial order that happened in 1997. It's really interesting. We think about the Nixonian era of politics and the good and bad in there. But, you know, you got the 1974 Self-Determination Act with tribes, right? That allowed IRA government tribes to dictate things like tribal constitution, enrollment. And this happened a year before that. This Endangered Species Act. So secretarial order happened in 1997 to allow federal trust responsibility, and not to get in the two weeds for the audience, but it's important to understand that treaties are a nation to nation government agreement that's held in the Constitution. Article 6, Section 2 of the Constitution says treaties are the supreme law of the land. And for them to have the secretarial order means that we need to be represented when they make these decisions with Line 3, when we make they make these decisions with disrupting ecosystems that we cannot return to. And I cannot stress that enough. We cannot return to ecosystems in an environment that has been disturbed by big oil, big pharmaceutical, and big corporations. We cannot return to it. It's an irreversible damage. That's why it's so important to talk about Line 3, Robert.
Yeah, I'd like to add, and Wendy can add on too, I would like to add big farms too, corporate farms too, that are ruining our...
Yeah, the factory farms, absolutely. They have the big, you know, all the animals in one spot, their urine and feces go into a big pit, and the urine and feces is then liquefied and then sprayed over the atmosphere, and it causes problems. You know, yesterday we had somebody on who was saying that the riverbed and the drought right now is so bad, and Enbridge wants to use all this water for the equipment, and there's clams there who are, you know, climbing out, who have to go over a 10-foot riverbank to get on the other side of the larger part of the river, and they're probably not going to make it. Very few will make it to the other side. Now, the clams have to live because the clams feed other animals, right? The animals, the bears come and they break the clams, and it's you know, it's a domino effect. So we really need to take care of this environment. So thank you so much, Lewis, for talking about this.
Yeah, Lewis, another thing, too, I'd like to add is just that, you know, at one time, and, you know, John Trudeau always talked about this, at one time, everybody was indigenous to their land. Everybody cared like Native Americans care about their land and where they're from. They've lost that, and we're the last front. The Native Americans are the last front, along with our allies, which we need. Let me just say that again, along with our allies, which we need, are holding the line down and trying to prevent a total catastrophe of Mother Earth. And what's your thoughts on that, Lewis?
You know, John Trudell is such a staple among us indigenous activists. You know, the poetry he wrote, but more importantly, the perspective. One of my favorite quotes is his about civilization. He says, "They call this civilization. This is not civilization. In fact, this is the most uncivilized point of our humanity." And to me, that speaks volumes when we talk about environmental justice. We talk about indigenous rights justice. We talk about criminal justice. You know, the uncivilized way that settler colonialism has affected our environment is the same way they affect us as indigenous people, with for-profit prison institutions that are lobbying our Congress members to continue this cycle of oppression to break up the nuclear indigenous family. You know, make sure fathers are out there getting arrested, you know, and put in these long sentences, not having proper representation. And we think about our environment. Line 3 is the same way. We don't have representation that states that you are doing irreversible damage to our environment, to, you know, the things that we hold sacred for our children. And it goes hand in hand. And I think John Trudeau had such a tremendous way to think about holistically how everything on the earth, you know, as Lakota, we talk about the Changlishka. The Changlishka is the medicine wheel, and how everything affects whatever happens on Earth happens in the stars. So we have that relationship with the earth. And I think that type of nuance isn't that hard to understand. What isn't hard to understand is that we all have to get behind it, whether you're indigenous or not. And we need to count on our allies to also get involved.
Yeah, I was on a radio show today, you guys, and one of the things that was brought up here in the Twin Cities and everywhere in the United States, when they put the freeways through in the 60s, they put them through BIPOC neighborhoods. And this is the same thing with pipelines. And I never really thought of that, but, you know, we got rid of Rondo here. That was a thriving African-American neighborhood. Highway 94 in the Twin Cities went right through it and destroyed a thriving African-American neighborhood.
These companies go through the least resistance. So wherever they think that they're going to have their least resistance, that's where they go for it.
Yeah, definitely. So it was an amazing analogy that a brother, Don Newcomb, mentioned today.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought of that, but that's absolutely true.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you guys are completely right. I mean, but the thing is that we are such a strong people of resistance. You know, no matter what they throw at us, we're still here and we're still going to fight the rights, fight against corporate greed and talk about water, being able to have clean water, a clean environment for our children, whether these people like it or not, whether, you know, these employees of Enbridge that will sit there and build these lines and allow these pipelines to run through, we're there for your children. We are protesting for your children. And that's what they don't understand. They're so short-sighted, and settler colonialism scope is such a short-sighted for-profit scope that we end up doing irreversible damage, but we rise again. One thing in point, and I want to give a shout out to our Minneapolis African American brothers and sisters. Juneteenth, federal holiday, finally, yep. Right?
Yeah,
and that's amazing. We are in solidarity with our African American brothers and sisters. And you know, I always think about 94 East, like you were saying, the whole redlining of the Twin Cities. People think that, you know, the Twin Cities is a liberal bastion. It wasn't always that way. You know, we had. Even the Jewish community in St. Louis Park. So when we think about 94 East, I think of the first time Prince, yes, the artist formerly known as Prince, was in a band called 94 East, 16 years old, playing rhythm guitar. Talk about resistance.
Yeah, that's awesome. Wow. I'm kind of like in shock here right now. So, I want to really give you a big shout out. I want you to be able to hang out, Lewis, Eagle Thunder. You know, what a great segment, two segments here, sitting in for Ogama. And she's in ceremony with her significant other and doing the creator's work. So, Pini Gigi again, Lewis. And up next, we're going to have Dr. Stately on, and we're going to talk a lot of things. It's always very interesting, right, Wendy?
Yeah, we talk about all kinds of things. We talk about COVID.
Yeah.
Maybe we could talk about the new variant, the Delta variant. We could maybe ask him about that.
I might need another pep talk, Wendy, on how to treat people that aren't vaccinated.
Yeah, I think, you know what, I play his over and over again in my head, and I think I need to hear it again. I think we should ask him about that again.
Yes,
that
definitely.
Helps me a lot. It really does.
And it's very soothing how Dr. Stately talks about
exactly.
It. Wow. Hey, yes. We'll be right back. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
The Department of Indian Work partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. Now you can call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can also schedule a free COVID-19 vaccine at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. Appointments are available for residents 16 years of age and older. Vaccines are available to certain residents of Hennepin, Ramsey, Anoka, and Dakota counties. Call the Minnesota American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986 to find out when you can get your free COVID-19 vaccination. Appointments are available April 16th through June 19th. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Hi, Minnesota. Stephanie Miller here. Join me every weekday morning from 8 to 11 for a humorous look at politics and current events on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
COVID-19 vaccines are safe, effective, free, and approved for everyone over the age of 12. Getting vaccinated is the most powerful tool to keep ourselves and loved ones healthy and to end this pandemic. Get your vaccine and get back to what matters most to you. To learn more about scheduling a free appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID vaccine. Again, that website to schedule your free COVID-19 vaccine is ramseycounty.us/COVID vaccine.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly cloudy skies overnight with a low around 71. Thursday, partly cloudy with a high near 91. Friday, sunny with a high near 85. And Saturday, sunny with a high around 83. Crooner's Supper Club has some great ways you can safely enjoy the best jazz music in town, both indoors and outdoors. The new Belvedere Outdoor Stage features elegant tented table seating with choice views of Moore Lake. So head to Crooner's off Moore Lake on Highway 65 for your next night out. Details at croonersmn.com.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are Calusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Yeah, great organization, doing a lot of great work.
Sure.
Hey, so it's almost like Monday, but it's not Monday.
I'm all confused. I don't know what day of the week it is.
Well, we have Dr. Stately here, and thank goodness, because I need another pep talk about...
I heard you just fine before you went on break.
Yeah, you know, I need another pep talk, Dr. Stately. It's just like
I still can't hear you. The little on both of your.
Oh, we're having technical difficulties, yeah, but we will.
Going on, maybe on that side.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe if you leave and come back, Dr. Stately. Let's see. We'll do a little chat here.
If I was better.
Hey, Robert, if you guys can talk amongst yourselves, I'll talk to Dr. Stately on the chat here and see if we can get him lined up.
Okay, that's great. Thanks so much. Yeah. Or maybe call him in and we could have him on a telephone, and then we could put up a pretty picture of him.
Yeah, exactly.
That one that he likes so much with the blue shirt where he looks really thin.
Yeah.
So we are here, Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake. Go to our Facebook page, and I put up a couple of things here today. Sign a petition to help animals, and then an update about the Wisconsin wolf hunt that happened where they killed all the wolves. So just an update on that. So if you want to read that, I put that up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we for years talked about how the wolves brought back Yellowstone Park and how people love that, and they brought the wolves in and things happened, and now like people are blind to what good the wolves do, and they want to just kill stuff, and almost swore they want to kill stuff.
Don't swear on the radio, but there is an update. I'll post it on our Facebook page, Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake Facebook page. It's A Humane World by Kitty Block's blog. Her, Kitty Block, and Sarah Admonson just wrote this today. It's the infamous trophy hunt shows what happens when gray wolves are stripped of their protections. And it goes on to say, in February, 1,500 trophy hunters took the frigid woods of Wisconsin armed with guns, traps, neck snares, and packs of hounds in what would be Wisconsin's first wolf hunt in 7 years. The destruction and killing they perpetrated over the next 60 hours revealed the crass hypocrisy of wildlife management agencies and the dangers facing wolves in America. Jeez. Should I keep going?
Yeah,
please. A whooping 2,380 wolf hunting permits, twice as many as are typically issued for hunts in the state, are made available for a quota of 119 wolves in what was supposed to be a week-long session. Less than 3 days later, more than 200 wolves had been killed. Entire wolf families were decimated, and the hunting season had to be shut down early, having gone nearly 100 wolves over the quota. And it goes on to say, each wolf lost in this killing spree had represented hope for wolf conservation in America, and the hope was shattered. Little, if any, input was sought from Wisconsinites, tribal nations, or scientific communities. We led strong campaign, which we means HSUS, to stop the February hunt in the newsletter. And I'll talk about this another time.
Absolutely.
We have Dr. Stately back.
Yeah, awesome. Dr. Stately, welcome back. Dr. Stately is the CEO at the Native American Community Clinic. And we were just talking before you got on, Dr. Stately, that Wendy and I need another pep talk. We want to be able to meet people where they're at, and we had a meltdown this week, and we're trying to get back, and we've quoted you, and not a meltdown towards each other, but just between ourselves talking about friends and relatives. That's
who won't get vaccinated for whatever, you know, crazy reason that they believe, and I have to stop thinking that it is a crazy reason and know that it is very rational to them. So I need you to help us with that.
And send us a bill.
Therapy session here.
I mean, I'm certainly, first of all, Buju, thank you for inviting me to be on tonight. Sorry about the technical difficulties. I kept getting error messages. So oddly enough, I could hear you fine before you went to break. And then when you came back, I couldn't hear you. So I don't know.
Oh, strange.
Some bawajis were messing with my settings, perhaps. Anyway, yeah, that is a challenge for sure. You know, I am finding this to be true in professional settings and also personal settings where I have to have a conversation with folks about their willingness to be vaccinated, their hesitancy around it and ambivalence around it and those kinds of things. And certainly I have lots of concerns about that as well, because I have, you know, my children got their second vaccine on Saturday and, you know, not really fully vaccinated until 2 weeks after that period. So, you know, I'm thinking for myself, like how much I want people to be around them unmasked and those kinds of things and sharing space. I'm especially more concerned now because of the evidence that we see about the new Delta variant, which is the variant that was sort of kind of found to be responsible for so many deaths in the country of India over the last several weeks. Thankfully that the WHO has started assigning Greek alphabet letters to these variants, because before they were calling it the England variant or this variant or that variant, which is right. can be kind of like, you know, damaging to the reputations of countries and people of various ethnicities and races and kind of such. So, but this one is thought to be 60% more virulent than the B.1.1.2 variant, which is now called the Alpha variant. And that one was pretty bad. That one. And this one kind of ripped through the country of India and gave, just made it very, very challenging for them and their healthcare system. And I think one of the things that's concerning for me is like how rapidly it showed up here in the United States. Within, I think, a week of it being identified, it was found to be in some of the, in many of the counties and many of the states already in the United States. So the idea that it's fairly virulent in terms of and much more easily transmissible is an issue that's concerning. So it's particularly thought to be pernicious and vulnerable to, are the populations that seem to be very vulnerable are the ones that are sort of like under the age of 12, who we haven't even started to vaccinate yet. And then also folks who may have only gotten one vaccine. And we have a significant number of people in both the state of Minnesota, but also throughout the country that have, you know, only gotten, went and got one vaccine, you know, either the Pfizer or the Moderna. And for whatever reasons, all kinds of reasons, they haven't been able to get back to get the second vaccine for that booster. And then we've had other shows where we talked about, you know, why is it that I have a much stronger reaction with the second shot than I did with the first shot? Why is that, you know, so challenging for folks? And should I be concerned about that? And, you know, I certainly had that same reaction, and, you know, members of my family have. And, you know, the way that it's been described and articulated through, you know, folks who understand how the immune system response works, folks like Dr. Fauci, who is like an immunologist, this is what he's built his entire career on, explains like that robust response is, you know, the evidence that your immune system is responding in mass, creating lots of, antibodies to protect yourself from future infection. So I think, the concern here is that, you know, and knowing that you have, you know, less than 60% efficacy with only one shot, and that's really the second shot that gets you up to the 95% sort of mark with respect to, being fully vaccinated. And I know that there's probably also people that think, well, you know, 95%, that's 5%, means I still have a 5% chance of, you know, I'm getting sick. Well, and I understand that logic, but, you know, I'll take 5% chance over, you know, 70% chance or 60% chance any day of the week.
Exactly. If you were planning to go to the beach and had a 70% chance of rain, you probably wouldn't go, but you'd go if there was only a 5% chance of rain. So there you go. Right.
That's a good analogy, right?
Also, I just got an update on my phone while we were sitting here, and it's from the CDC, and it said the more infectious Delta variant rose from 2.7% cases in May to 9.7% this month. The CDC director reportedly told governors this week. And cases are rising in Texas and areas around the country with lower vaccination rates. So...
And I think one of the things we want to remember too is that, like, by the time we get some of this information, these are data that are not real time. These are not data that are reflective of like what's going on right now today.
Right.
These are data that are reflective of, you know, a week ago, possibly a week and a half ago, because it takes sometimes that long for everybody to report and for, mm-hmm. the number crunchers, the bean counters to like count it all and do all the things that they need to do and then collate it and get it out to us. So,
yeah. That's a good point. Well, I feel better talking to you, Doctor. You have that soothing voice, and I just do you have time to do another segment with us, another half segment?
I do. Awesome. I'm going to try and join by my computer again because my phone's going to die. So,
Sounds good.
You're just all full of technology over there. All right. Hey, we're with Dr. Stately. CEO at the Native American Community Clinic, and he's coming back on his laptop. So let's stay with us, right, Wen?
That's right. We'll be back. Stay with us. Hey, Olgama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Over the past year and more, we've all missed out on a lot. Family time, graduations, weddings. And missing those events, we've missed out on even more. Friendships, connections, community, belonging. That's a long time to miss things this important. So don't miss on getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Vaccines are now available throughout Hennepin County to anyone over the age of 16. Just visit TakeCareHennepin.org and sign up to get yours. That's TakeCareHennepin.org.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Stronghearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Stronghearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are Alusa Nation.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh, we got to do that over. Lewis didn't unmute his mic. Say it again, Wendy.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Okay. All right, Lewis, thank you so much. Hey, we got Dr. Stately back. He's looking good there. I hope he can hear us. Dr. Stately, welcome back. Much needed information, Wendy.
Yeah,
just amazing.
Really information. You know what? I was talking to my sister. She lives in New York right before I got on the show and I hung up. She had COVID in December, right around Christmas time. To this day, and she also waited and she got vaccinated, but she's still having long-term effects from COVID. She still has inflammation in her lungs that the doctors can't contribute to anything but COVID. And she still is getting not swelling, but black and blue marks around her ankles and feet that they also are contributing to COVID symptoms that you know, are lingering and are lasting on her. So I just want to throw that out, and you know, that people that I, you know, that sometimes people that you know and you love are suffering, you know. And if, you know, she says if the vaccine was available to her back during Christmas and she had the opportunity to get the vaccine and she did, she much would rather have been nervous about the vaccine and get the vaccine than to deal with these long-term, long-haul effects of COVID that she's dealing with right now. So I just wanted to say that. She doesn't listen to the show, so it doesn't matter if I talk about her.
Well, we didn't say her name.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think sometimes, yeah, I was going to say, well, sometimes, you know, when you talk about those stories with your relatives, it's like, you know, if you keep them anonymous and don't tell them their names, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, like, yeah, that's a really, I think a really common sort of thing I hear. I hear from folks all the time, like, well, you know, I had it once already, so I don't need to get a vaccine. And what I try to remind people is, like, well, you know, we all of the evidence, right? And the science, I think, is the scientific sort of process I believe in, because I'm a scientist, you know, I have a PhD, which is a science-based degree, really interested in, like, understanding how best to, you know, use what available tools we have to sort of kind of predict what's likely to happen, right? And that's really all we can do scientifically. We can't, like, you know, the only entity or spirit that knows exactly what's going to happen in the future is the Creator. None of us have any clue what's going to happen in the next, you know, 24 hours or beyond. But what we can do is we can predict. We can use our intelligence, our gut, and the available evidence that we have in the environment to predict what's the most likely thing to happen. And that's how science works. And what I can say is that, you know, the science seems to suggest strong evidence that, you know, natural immunity, your own body's ability to sort of kind of mount a robust response and sort of, you know, stay and keep, and have the ability to fight off an infection such as the coronavirus 2 or SARS-CoV-2 is much less robust than a well-designed, well-studied, robust immunization. That's how they work. And I think one of the things, the reason for that is that you know, your own body's ability to do that is so variable, right? It's so variable. It's dependent on a lot of different things. And so part of it is also recognizing that, you know, kind of like putting your best, you know, it's kind of like, I have a friend of mine that that likes to do roulette. I think he's crazy, specifically myself personally, because I like, there's nothing more, you know, completely random than the roulette, right? But he likes to go in and he put his chips down and he plays the safe game. He puts some chips down on red and black, right? Both, because then he knows, like, okay, there's a likelihood that I'm going to win, right? So he uses now his strategy. You can argue whether or not his strategy seems to be the most effective and efficient for sort of becoming rich, because it's probably not, but he's mitigating his loss, right? And that's a logical, thoughtful strategy. And I think similarly, we'd want people to think through, like, okay, you were sick, and you don't know how long you're going to be immune. The science seems to suggest anywhere between 3 to 4 months. And then you have this opportunity to have this technologically designed vaccine that will boost your immune's capacity to be able to stay immune for nine months, 12 months, possibly longer, is what this evidence seems to suggest. Now, call me crazy, but I'd probably want to bet on both of those I'd want to bet on both the natural immunity and the vaccine. I like my friend's text approach to this. I'd want to bet on black and red and come out a winner one way or another.
Wow, good analogy. Wendy, didn't you used to play a lot of roulette when you were younger?
Well, Atlantic City wasn't far from where I lived, so it was just like a 3-hour drive. So
yeah, you know, I'm going to cover all my bets. That's kind of the way I'm at. And I think about it. And, you know, I was right just before all this. We're out listening to the news and stuff, and watching some of the reporting on you know, the thing on the cruise ship, and just and I turned to my sons and I said, I'm so grateful I got you vaccinated this last weekend.
Yes.
And we're going to be really cautious for the next 2 weeks, where you go, how you spend your time, because then in two weeks you will be fully vaccinated. Your immune system will have launched a robust enough response that it will feel comfortable having you in the community without a mask and circulating and being among folks.
What a good feeling.
Yeah, so one of the things, too, that you're saying, and I think I need to put my recovery hat on and say, I need to pray for these people and just pray for them, you know, for whatever reason. Just pray for them and have good thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think we have to be angry with them and frustrated with them. I mean, we can, obviously, but I think folks who are struggling with this probably need support. You know, it doesn't cost us or hurt us at all or create any kind of like strenuousness for us to pray for people who are struggling, right? So pray for them, help them find clarity and help them find something that works well for them and help them be protected. But, you know, and I'm all about praying, but I'm also about using, you know, Creator gave us free will. And, you know, so I rely on Creator. I rely on her to create, you know, to give me a lot of, you know, spiritual help. But I'm still boots on the ground here on Earth, and I got to take some action as well. So I think, you know, what I'm trying to say is, like, you know, pray for people that are struggling with the answers. It's, you know, it doesn't hurt us to do that. And then try to support them in making a good decision. It doesn't help us to sort of, deride and be upset with our relatives. Sometimes it makes them dig their heels in more. Talk about your own feelings. Talk about how concerned you are. Talk about what you would feel like if they were to get sick and they had to live with long-term issues. Talk about how you would feel if they were to not be with us anymore. Those are all things that are really important to communicate to your loved ones.
Wow. Well, Dr. Stately, thanks for stopping in, and we really needed to hear that.
Yeah.
Definitely, Wendy and I have been struggling a little bit with that. I want to end with these thoughts. If you're listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. The ground in which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and mask up. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Thanks, Louis Eagle Thunder. Thanks, Dr. Stately. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.